Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. The subtopic says, do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from your mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God. Walking in obedience to him and revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you'll be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Amen. I read the whole thing. I wasn't going to, but it's a great chapter because we cannot forget the Lord our God. He starts out, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. It's crazy how he says that, because he says, obey the Lord your God so that. God called Israel to complete obedience so that you need to work so that you can provide. You need to save some money so that when you need to buy something, you can. You need to discipline your children so that when they get older, they are obedient and respectful. You need to clean your house so that when company comes over, you're not scrambling to clean it up in a second. Follow my commands so that you may live and increase, live and prosper. God tells us to obey his commands so that we will increase. You know, the Bible is so simple, but with all this flesh, you know, we make it so hard to receive what he has for us. Obey my commands so that you will prosper, so you will increase. He says that. So you may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, as us today, the land that our ancestors were going to was the promised land. The promised land which had milk and honey and a good life is what he's talking about. The promised land, the land that he's talking about is a good life. Possess, live and increase so you may enter and possess a good life, is God is trying to tell us. Remember the life we lived and how God still called us after all the storms of life, the trials, the heartaches. He had his eye on us the whole time, watching our journey in the wilderness. See, you got to understand that the Israelites, they wandered for 40 years. God told Pharaoh, leave, let my people go. They came out, and instead of making the two and a half week trek to the promised land, they wasted 40 years. That's why you'll always hear, man, children of Israel, because they took so long to finally get it. Am I the only one that took some time to get it? You know, it took me 35 years to become a man of God. Am I 40 years, you know, in the wilderness? He let it all happen. All those years of stress, spending our money, making wrong decisions, all of it to humble us so finally we would call on him to save me. Hard times, he allows. Why does God allow hard times? Because that's when we seek him. That's when we get down on our knees and go, oh God, please, Lord, help me with this situation. When we're in the dark, we look for the light. He said, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you, to humble you. Because in the world, we're pretty prideful. I don't need Jesus. I remember chasing groups out of Piru because they came to preach the word. I don't need Jesus. But we're prideful. When we're in the world, we're prideful and we don't have no room for God in our life. We don't want it, you know, because we think we got things going on. But he allowed me to go in and out of jail, in and out of jail, tripping over myself, falling around. Going to from job to job, my gosh, to finally see me humble myself and say, man, God, if you're real, just take this life. That's why he allows us to go through this, you know, to humble us and to test us. Somebody say, this is only a test. This is only a test. He lets us get to a low so he could help us out. The Bible says in verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Not because he didn't know what was in their heart, but because they didn't know what was in their heart. Somebody. Come on, am I the only one that didn't know what was in my heart? My heart was jacked up, and he humbled me and he tested me to see what was in my heart. He knew what was in their heart, but they didn't know what was in their heart. So he did that. He let them wander and wander and wander. It says he humbled them, causing them to hunger. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and feeding you with manna. The way he led us might not have been pretty, hungry, thirsty, addicted, broke, hurting in body, broken hearts, hurt feelings, lonely, disrespected, angry, bitter, confused? Should I go on? He let us go through all that so we would humble and hunger for him. It was when I was at a total low that I called out to God. This is what salvation is, somebody. You know, we're going through the mountain, round and round and round we go, spinning our wheels, falling and knocking our head. And finally, we say, man, why don't I try church? And then we come and we say, Lord, save me. And we accept Christ and things start to get better. Because he was testing our heart. He fed the manna from the sky. Because the Israelites, they were set free from Egypt, from slavery. And then they were in the wilderness and they were hungry. Ah, oh, we're starving. You brought us out here to just die of hunger. Back there we had fish and fruit and vegetables and everything we to eat and everything. And you brought us out to the desert to let us die of hunger. You're a slave too. He says, and then he gave manna from the sky. And manna, you got to understand, manna is a type of a bread. It was a type of a holy bread, you know, that fell from the sky. It was something bitter. It tasted bitter. Anybody ever, you know, a grapefruit? A grapefruit is bitter. Bitter. See, to a hungry soul, any bitter thing is sweet. When you're going through it and there seems to be no way out and you're hungry for something to happen, and then God sends something spiritual and it's so sweet. So sweet. I mean, our first visit to church, it was, you know, just, gosh, it was so peaceful. And that's what we're looking for when we come to church. If you're like me, I needed peace, somebody. My life was chaotic. The Lord created a new thing for their supply and taught them that man lived not on bread alone. See, none of us knew this manna. None of us knew how to live for God. None of us knew how to trust God. None of us knew how to depend on God. That's manna. He gave us something that we didn't know. That could be the spiritual manna. You know, we didn't know. I didn't know how to live for God. But I started to learn and I started to feed myself that stuff. Come on, somebody. You know, you start feeding your spirit. You learn that this is all right. Sometimes the word is not easy to swallow. It's humbling to take a real good look at yourself. Man, in debt, bad choices. Biggest thing about bad choices is bad choices have bad consequences. And to us now being saved, he's given us his word from heaven to teach us that satisfying our appetites maybe is not what life is all about. I like there's a book called Sacred Marriage, and it says you know that the husband and wife, they you know, they're two total different creatures, and we fight. But it says, what if God didn't create marriage for happiness, but for holiness? I remember my sister-in-law from San Diego said, if you want to follow Jesus, stay single. If you want to be like Jesus, get married. Because you got to forgive. You got to love. You got to sacrifice. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do that. Oh my gosh. You got to die every day. Yes. Yes. Carry your cross and die and deny yourself. But maybe happiness is not what the marriage was about. It was about becoming holy. Store your treasure in heaven. The Bible says he did it to teach us that we need more than bread, more than material things, more than things we see. We needed Jesus to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. Why every word? Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Starting at 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why is the word of God so important? Because we get trained by it. As you start to read the Bible, you start becoming wiser. You start making better decisions. You start loving more. You know, you start forgiving more. You start changing. You get stronger. You get more confident. I've said it before that being a man of God, I've got confidence to stand with sheriffs and doctors and talk to them, and because I know my word. There's a certain growth in you that happens when you're in church and you're in it and you're reading your word and growing. Amen. Sadly, a lot of people live by bread alone, living only for material things, name brands, quantity, bling bling, still searching to be satisfied. Christian writer said, feed on God's word day and night, and God will make you live the life that is more abundant. Feed on God's word day and night, and he will make you live a better life. Because why? Because if I'm reading the word and it says to obey God's commands and stuff, then I'm living right, man. You know? Remember, right living brings peace. Right living brings peace, church. See, real life comes from obeying God and not half-heartedly. If you're going through hard times, he's testing to see where your heart is. Will you call on him? See, people want the gifts, but they don't want the giver. They want the blessings, but they don't want the commitment. And that's sacrifice. Total commitment to God requires discipline, hard work, and sacrifice. And that's why people don't want it. Discipline, hard work, and sacrifice. They want the easy road. It's easy to live like a devil, huh? It's easy to, the movie Tyler Perry, I can do bad all by myself, right? I don't need no friends to make me want to do bad. I'll be bad. Do bad. It's easy to live like a devil. There ain't no work. There ain't no sacrifice in that. Just all about you. All about you. Living like a devil is one big party. Well, why is that bad? Because the devil don't bother you unless you bother him. Why should he bother you if you're already living for him? You're his already. You're his already. But as we learn to live right and live for God, then he don't like that. He don't like that. Then we get trials going and stuff because we stirred him up, somebody. I tell you guys, when a pastor was talking to me about getting ordained, and I got ordained, and he said, "Man, you know, Piru, that's hard ground. You know, that's hard ground." He said, "You and Maria going to Piru to start a church is like knocking on the doors on the gates of hell and saying, 'Bring it on.' It's hard ground here. Very religious town." He said, "Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell." We stayed healthy. We weren't doing right, but we were healthy. Your feet didn't swell and your clothes didn't wear out, we still managed, like the Israelites, but we still managed, like the Israelites, to murmur and complain. I don't have a nice car, but you get to work. You don't have a house with a white picket fence, but you had a roof over your head. I might not have gotten to eat at the fancy restaurants, but I ate. I'm still here. Remember the Lord your God. He didn't let us suffer. Take a look what's in your heart, because that's what God cares about. God's expectation is obedience. When you don't fear God, you think you're all good. I'm good. He says, be careful to follow every command. Walking in obedience for the Lord your God is trying to, for the Lord is trying to give us a good life. That's probably the biggest thing why God says, remember the Lord your God. While Moses says, remember the Lord your God. Because as we get into this walk and we're singing songs and we're going about our walk and we're having hard times where, you know, it's trials and God, this is so hard. God, I don't really feel like reading my Bible, this and that. Remember to obey the commands so that you will live a good life. We can't get all bungled up about the walk and forget that he's trying to give us a good life. In Joshua 1:8, Joshua says, do everything written in it. I shared with the guys the two kind of obediences. Cruise control obedience. This level of obedience is determined by the behavior of other Christians around us. We don't want to be behind them, and we don't want to be too different that we seem all spiritual. I just want to be comfortable and press cruise control in my heart and enjoy the ride, not having to experience the fatigue of obeying him with all my heart. Want me to say it again? I just want to be comfortable and press cruise control in my heart and enjoy the ride, not having to experience the fatigue of obeying him with all my heart. That's living one foot in church and one foot out of church. You know, just sort of cruising. Remember God said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. God wants us hot for him. Right? Race car obedience is different. A race car driver wouldn't think twice about pressing cruise control. They want to win the race. They focus on their driving and not everyone else's. They focus on the track and hazards in the road. They drive with all their heart, soul, and mind to win the prize. See, our worship to God is only as pleasing with the obedience that comes with it. If I'm singing hallelujah and God bless you, brother, and this and that, but I'm not obeying the word of God, I mean, that's nothing. There's no brownie points there. I mean, I'm fooling myself if I think God's going to bless me. God's not impressed with your Sunday walk if you're not obeying him the rest of the week. When you get blessed, we should praise God. We should be thankful. You know, God wants to be thanked. That's how he wants his children. He wants us to be thankful for everything that he gives us. He blessed us with our jobs. He says in verse 16, he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors have never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me. When things start going good, it's easy for us to think it's us. It's easy for us to forget about God. And things are rolling right now. You know, I'm making money. You know, I'm working overtime, I'm doing this. I don't need God right now. It's our human stupidity that will make us do that. You know, just forget about God because things are going so good. When things are going good, it's easy for us to forget about God. my power, my strength through my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. See, if I truly believe God made me, then I have to truly know that it's God that gave me this strength and my talents. You know, if I'm sitting here in church and I'm supposed to be believing God, well, everything about the Bible would come as truth to me. And right here it says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. If we believe in God, we got to believe God gave us, who made us who we are, our talents, our strength, and our weaknesses. 19:20. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. So serious, he says it. You can hear the warning in the way he says that. He didn't say God will destroy you. He said you will surely be destroyed. Even in this walk, if we take off to Hawaii, if we're just forgetting about God and stuff, we will go down. We will go down and we will do something stupid. And now there's a big fight between spouses, or end up in jail, or, you know what I mean? I mean, we do something stupid when we're away from God and think that we're all right. He says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. It's so true. Do you believe that if you guys weren't in church, things would be real hoity-doity right now? Not me. Not my house. My gosh. Be at each other's throats. You know? But serving God and remembering God, acknowledging God. Oh, I'm going ahead of myself. Listen to this quote. Those that follow others in sin will certainly follow them to destruction. If we do as sinners do, we must expect to fare as sinners fare. I'm going to say it again. Those that follow others in sin will certainly follow them to destruction. If we do as sinners do, we must expect to fare as sinners fare. You guys understand that, right? The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. How am I going to fly like an eagle hanging around a bunch of turkeys? You know? I mean, if I want to be the best I could be, I can't hang around with these loafers, bunch of druggies, alcoholics. I want to be around someone that challenges me to be better. So I'm going to go to, I'm going to end with Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. King James, it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge God in all your ways. That's a secret to this walk, church. To always think about God. Think of God. Think. I'm not saying every second of the day, but know that you're a Christian, that God loves you. Know that you're representing God. Know that He's your Savior. Love God. You know what I mean? If we go through our day knowing Him and acknowledging Him in everything, our paths will be straight. Our paths will be straighter, church. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We have to remember the Lord our God. So big. In following God, we can't ever forget about Him.